all commissioners see and hear me?
Yes.
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 Okay. Members of members of the public, if you can use your reaction button, if your face isn't on, and just put little thumbs up or happy face or whatever, can all members of the public see and hear me? Give me a thumbs up.
Yes.
Look at that. We're going good. Kelly, can you hear me? Kelly's okay.
Cool.
All right. This meeting is being recorded. Once President Brooks asked me to call the roll, indicate you are here as well as give permission to record by verbally stating here, permission to record.
Good to go now. So I just want you to know that we are going to record this session. You will not appear in this session at all because this is a Zoom webinar. So,
okay, so does anybody have their, if you're not speaking, if you can put your, mute yourselves, because it looks like we're getting some feedback here. I don't know from where. Okay.
Nor do I, but I call the March 16th, 2021 regular board meeting of the Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note.
Great. It's 7:01 p.m. Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Here.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes, permission to record.
Commissioner Underdung?
Yes, permission to record.
President Brooks?
Yes, permission to record. Okay, we are going to do a little switch around of things, and I'm going to entertain a motion to move other business in the agenda to be held after consent agenda items. Can I have someone move that motion?
So moved.
Underdung? Bourne, second?
Yes. Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdung?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. Moving on to consent agenda items, A through D are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items? I take that as a no. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
So moved.
Bourne?
Second.
Underdung?
Yep. Okay, roll call vote, please.
Mr. Bourne?
Yes.
Mr. Colby?
Yes.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Mr. Underdung?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. Moving on to other business, the first item will be an announcement by Lisa Shepherd. She will update the board on the park grant.
So we got some very surprising and excellent news today. The governor released a statement saying that they're releasing $24.9 million in park grants. 17 park and forest reserve districts received the grants, and the Glencoe Park District was one of those 17 for a total of $2.5 million.
Holy cow.
Whole ass. So, woo!
That's awesome.
I will send pictures of me yelling, screaming, excited. So, we matched that with only $1.5 million. So, this grant goes towards Watts renovation. So, putting an elevator in to make the whole building accessible, another entrance for our kids club staff, redoing upstairs of Watts, and then improvements to the ice rink, which was very heavily used this year. So, kudos to everybody on the team for getting this done. So, we're very excited. This is the largest grant in Park District history that we've done.
Oh my goodness.
Well, as we all say, park grants can be a little, especially in this time, it can be a little roller coaster, so we don't have any details yet. It was just, the announcement was just put out, and I will forward on the announcement to you all, and a press release will go out tomorrow.
Well, that's incredibly exciting. The staff just must feel so proud of themselves for the work that they did and the risks that they took and the time that they put into trying to get this money that seemed like such a long shot, and there you go, success. I can't tell you that it's just been one after the other success for the staff, and you know, I, on behalf of the board, well done. Congratulations. We will benefit as community members from the work that you've done. And, you know, keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right.
Okay. We will move on then to, we kind of shuffled things around in the agenda a bit because as last week progressed, I began to get more and more feedback from both within the board and outside of the board that people were looking for some a little feedback on the status of the Booth Cottage project at Ravine Bluffs Park. And in that, board members did not feel equipped to answer questions regarding the situation there in terms of the status of the project and the timeline. I reached out to the Historical Society, Glencoe Historical Society, asking if a representative could come to our meeting tonight, and certainly not a formal presentation, just a bit of a conversation that where they can talk to us about where we are in the project, what is the status of the refurbishment of the outside of the building, which is our concern, including installation of the sidewalk and removal of the fence. I think that interest is revving up as we're entering spring, and we have at least one GHS representative, Karen Edelson, graciously agreeing to come and chat with us. And
so we also have Vanessa.
Oh, and we do have Vanessa.
Yeah.
Thank you. I thought there was going to be another representative, and that's great. I just don't see her on the screen. So I will just ask that you apprise us of where we are, give us some benchmarks for when we're going to see conclusions on this, and I will open it up to the board if there is some clarification that you, commissioners, that you think you need at the end. I'll have a brief discussion so that you can, while they're here, ask the questions that are of concern. So if that's, with no further ado, I shall turn it over to Karen and Vanessa.
Well, thank you very much for having us. We really appreciate it. We know this has been a long journey, and we appreciate all of your patience and the neighbors' patience, especially with the unexpected delays due to the pandemic, and of course, weather is always an issue in the Chicago area. So we thank you very much for that. We're very excited to tell you that basically by April 1st, 2 weeks from Thursday, everything will be completed on the exterior except for painting, sidewalk, and the sod, which are all scheduled, but as you know, those are very weather-dependent activities. So as for those items, those are expected to be done by May 1st. But by April 1st, that's when you will see the fence come down, the dumpster removed. A lot of the grading will be, again this week, so that fence and dumpster can come down. So as of today, the exterior window replacement, siding, and door work have been completed. Our contractor plans to finish the roof and downspout this week. Our cement contractor will begin, like I said, grading the area this week to prepare for the sidewalk. The soffit restoration is scheduled for next week. The front porch should be completed by the end of March. Like I said, I think the main issue is that fence and the dumpster. So that will be removed by April 1st. Again, weather permitting, the sidewalks will be poured beginning of April, exterior painting as well, and of course, last but not least, will be the sod, because we have to make sure all the machinery for the sidewalk is gone before we lay the sod as the final aspect of the exterior. But we are really pleased to to see that the drainage system that has been put in has successfully provided the necessary drainage that the park needed. We saw with the thaw that a majority of that water seems to have been taken care of. Of course, the rains in the spring are a big issue, and we'll continue to monitor it, but I think we have successfully solved that problem, which I know for a lot of the parks, it is a main problem. So once the sidewalk goes in, I think it'll be a much usable area over there as well. So we're really excited about that.
Thank you, Vanessa.
You're welcome.
Karen, did you want to add anything, or is that pretty complete?
Just that, first of all, congratulations on that grant. That is amazing. And as an organization that also has applied for grants in the past, I know the work that goes involved in that, and that's awesome. So I'm hoping that you look at what Vanessa's report is more good news on top of your initial good news. And if you have questions, we're happy to do our best to answer them.
Okay, so I will open it up to the board. Is anyone on the board, does anyone have any further questions or ask for more clarification on anything that has been presented this evening?
Hey, Lisa, I definitely have a couple clarifying questions.
Sure.
First of all, Vanessa and Karen, thank you guys for the update. It is certainly been a longer process than I think any of us anticipated, but, you know, no one really anticipated pandemics and that. So I'm appreciative of your efforts. I will say I think some points of frustration have been communication. So I would highly recommend that you guys owe it to the community to have consistent communication on your website. If you need help using Google Docs, which is a great way to communicate it, I suggest you ask anybody who's in Central School or West School, because they're masters at it. But I do think that it would probably be wise, and I think it's probably a requirement in our contract that you keep the neighbors updated. Part of, I think, the frustration here is not that there was a pandemic or not that, you know, weather related, but the lack of communication. And so I'm hoping that you guys can use your website, use Google Docs, maybe list out the initiatives that Vanessa mentioned, and sort of tick off when you expect these to happen to at least give the neighbors who have been more than patient with this extremely large, unique project, give them an update. I think that's a fair thing to ask. And so I will ask you, you know, to please communicate with the neighbors. It would go a long way to sort of put some transparency on kind of fairly opaque process so far.
Michael, I completely agree with you, and I will admit that we've done a poor job. On our website, you can see that we did an excellent job up until and including the move.
Yep.
So we are a volunteer organization, and stuff does sometimes, because we're working so hard on the project, I agree that our communication has been lacking, and we really apologize for that, and we will do better. Because I know this has been, it's been difficult for the neighbors, and we really appreciate their patience and yours as well. So we will make sure our website is up to date, and we use Google Docs all the time. So we'll figure out a way internally how to best communicate with everyone.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Karen.
Yeah, thank you, Vanessa, for that. And even just the, I mean, it's a rather simple now, at this stage of the project, simple key factors that need to be spelled out.
Mm-hmm.
The timeline is really rather simple. It's not a complex situation at this point. So however you want to, even if you send out an email to your email list saying we've updated our website so that, you know, with the timeline or something like that to kind of direct people who might be curious, that would be great.
Okay.
Are there any other comments or questions from the board?
I have a suggestion for improved communication, and that it be for the Historical Society to work on a little press release. We're not getting the kind of press coverage we used to, but it wouldn't hurt to get that out to the local press and also to the village so they can include it in the village weekly report. We sort of have to step in one way or another and cover for the lack of coverage in local newspapers these days.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many wonderful things going on in this community, but people don't know about
them. Right. I agree.
We have that same opportunity to talk about our good fortune with the grant, too. So, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Dudley. That's a really good suggestion. I love it. To use the village in their weekly newsletter as a point of communication. That's really good. Stephanie or Josh, anything more?
Yeah, I want to ditto what Michael said and Dudley as well about communications. I think that's really important. But I also want to thank Vanessa and Karen and the GHS for pushing this project forward. I've run past it many times since the move. And as long as I only look, above where my hands are now, it's a jewel box. And I'm really pleased that this treasure is going to be saved and is much more visible than it was before. So thank you for that. And let's get that fence down quickly so that we can all enjoy it more fully.
Josh, I think I can assure you that there is no one that wants this project done faster than us at this point. And we're really excited about, if you've been running by it the last few days, once we got past the snow in February, which was just a little bit overwhelming, the siding started to come on, the windows were completed. It's really changed a lot just in the last, I think, 2 weeks. And in the next 2 weeks, obviously, you're going to see more of a huge change. We, again, thank you all for your patience and support. I echo Vanessa's concerns. We agree. We are sorry we have not done better in the education department, but we will make that a priority and do better moving forward. And I think, once you see that fence come down, you're going to be hopefully very happy. I think it's something that we all can take a lot of pride in.
Thank you very much, Karen. If there is nothing more from the board, I would like to thank
Lisa.
Is there? I don't know who's talking.
Chris wants to ask a question.
I just had a couple of follow-up questions for Vanessa. Vanessa, have you guys gotten to the point where you've made your utility connections as far as water goes?
The permanent water. Let's see. Just had an update. ComEd, that utility has been done. The water, permanent electrical is scheduled for tomorrow, excuse me. The village is, they're the ones that scheduled the sanitary sewer connection. So again, we'll let them handle that.
Gas has been down.
The water, natural gas, storm sewer connections were made a long time ago.
So I just want to be judicious in making sure we have a plan to water the sod and the existing landscaping once it gets installed. I mean, the park district is going to be responsible for maintaining that, but we need to ensure that it's well established before we take over that role, because we'll need to, sod can be pretty finicky, especially in those dry Glencoe June. So we'll definitely want to circle back and kind of get a written plan in place for what the contractor's expectations are and what the park district needs to do to continue to support those.
That's a good point, Chris, and we'll communicate with you as soon as we, even beforehand, we'll try to establish that plan and then let you know. Obviously, we don't want to put that down until the concrete guys are finished, and they were there last week. They have been monitoring exactly when they can start so they can start as soon as possible, and once we know that timing, absolutely, because, we don't want to install the sod and then
have to get it. We've historically had some struggles with maintaining sod in unirrigated parks, so I would definitely say that we need to really work closely together on that and make sure that we have really good expectations from the contractor, because we can run into trouble really quickly if we don't. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. And I may have jumped the gun. Anything else? Okay. Then I would like to once again thank Vanessa and also Peggy to visit with us, and Karen, sorry, I mixed those two up, but you know, I shouldn't, I'm sorry, Karen. Thank you so much for visiting with us and sharing the timeline. We look forward to seeing those benchmarks met, and I appreciate your time. And we will just go ahead and move on to the next item in our agenda. It is our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment? If so, please limit comments to 3 minutes per person. And you can indicate to me just with the hand if you're interested in commenting.
You can all see that use the reaction button down below. You can see that, so a little easier. I do not see any.
Oh, there is one, yes. Oh. In my upper left, I don't have a name, but...
Robert Bloom.
It's Robert Bloom. I live on Franklin, a couple houses down. I have one very simple question, which is, when's it going to open? What's the schedule for opening of the center, interior done and open?
Thank you. We did hear that. It was a question, and it's really, this is a time, it's very confusing, but this is a time for comments, not questions, although we still have at least Karen with us. If you have, I know this is not going to be a public space per se, that it is going to be a working space for the GHS. There isn't, in my experience working with GHS, any plan to have it open to the public on any kind of a regular basis. However, my guess is once there is a grand opening, and when the interior has been finished, I'm sure there will probably be something to welcome this into the community. Karen, if you'd like, I would ask that you, if you have an answer for that.
I don't have a date. We are going to be working further on the interior, and we want to configure it in a way so that visitors will have an exhibit and an educational materials to look at. But under the terms of our agreement with you folks, there are limits to when it can be open and how long it can be open, and we absolutely intend to honor those. Honor those restrictions, and we won't open it until it's obviously ready and until it's something that all of us again can be very proud of. And as soon as we know when that, when there's a timeline for that, we will obviously let everyone know. But that's not going to happen, I would say, anytime soon.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other comments? And this really is a time for comments on anything in the district.
President Brooks, yes. Marla asked us to kindly remind construction crew that parking is either in the cottage drive or in the Metro train lot when the snow pile melts.
So, Karen, if you can remind them.
Absolutely.
Too,
not a problem.
Thank you. Good point. Yes. Okay, I'm going over to the comments to see those. If there is no other little yellow hand waving to me, golden hand waving to me, I suppose we can. Oh, there is.
Oops, Kelly.
Kelly. Yes.
Hi. Thank you all for doing this evening. I know sincerely appreciates the efforts of the Park District and of GHS to come update all of us this evening. And I think knowing that substantial completion will be this spring is really sort of a balm to many of the questions that we've all had over the last several months. One thing I will make it a comment instead of a question because I do understand that. I would just ask that even beyond those dates of quote unquote substantial completion of the exterior, that our neighborhood and our neighbors be continued to get those regular updates, because obviously we do have an interest not just in the exterior exterior being completed, although I know we will all have a sigh of relief when the fencing goes down. But we do have a substantial interest also in just, you know, what is going on in this really new and hopefully really great feature of our neighborhood. So I would just ask that that there is also an intention to continue those updates and really a dialogue with our neighborhood. I think, you know, and I appreciate all of the efforts of everyone this evening. Everything will work better when we're able to sit down and talk it through. So thank you for everyone that did that this evening. And I hope we can continue that going forward.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And there is a gentleman on my screen who's waved his hand, and I'm sorry, I don't...
Charlie, I believe?
Charlie, yes. Yes, go ahead, Charlie.
Hi, Charlie Sweat. I also live down the road on Franklin, and I have some questions, but I understand that this is an open mic, I guess, for just comment only. One thing I would like to emphasize, because it's been, I think, almost 15 months since the neighbors were, you know, in the room at the Takeoff Center discussing the Wright Cottage, and at that time we were told that there would be public funds used for this project. And since then, we've had the Glencoe Historic Society go to the village of Glencoe on two different occasions and ask for additional funding for this. And they actually received funding in December through the grant process to increase their grant over the course of the year. And while I know they said they weren't going to be asking for additional public funds, I just want to highlight that and emphasize again at this meeting that this isn't a project that the public should be contributing money to at this time. It's a private project. It should be a private project. And we just emphasize that was a commitment that was made early on, that it seems like it's a slippery slope. And hearing what I'm hearing now with the delays and everything else, could anticipate this being a problem in the future. And so I'll leave my comments at that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, is there anyone else?
I just want to add, because I think it's good to hear the progress. I think there, from the comments, there's still, you know, a significant amount of angst in that neighborhood. So I think probably another update publicly, I can request that, you know, in a couple of weeks or in a month, to see where we're at, make sure that the goalposts are being met so that we know how to address this moving forward.
Thank you, Stephanie.
I'll make a note of that.
Okay. Is there anyone else? I'm not seeing any indication. Forgive me if I'm just missing something. If not, we have a full schedule, and I will move on to the next agenda item, which is... the financial report. Ah, yes, the fiscal year 2021 is complete. Carol will provide a synopsis of the reports. Go ahead, Carol.
Don't you dare hang up. Listen to the financial report.
Thanks, Josh. I'm going to hear a lot of dings, I think. Actually, I'm happy to report that despite the COVID year that we've had, I can be consistent in this last 12 months of the fiscal year 2021 and say that there are no surprises, that pretty much as I've discussed over the course of the last 11 board meetings prior to this, that despite the pandemic, we are operating remarkably well. Yes, we did take a hit in our recreation programs. Revenue was down by almost $1.4 million, but our surplus is only down by about $500,000, and I think that says a lot for Bobby and his staff, who started with the virtual programming right away and continued with that spirit throughout the last 12 months. Daycare, which despite closing for most of March and all of April, opened up essential service for, daycare for essential service workers. I'm happy to report that we are right in line with how we operated the last 2 years, on top of the $193,000 grants over the course of the last year. So daycare, amazingly, had a surplus of $360,000 this year due to those grants. Amazing. Watts, never have seen us before. The last 2 years, we had about $90,000 deficit. This year, we're projecting around $10,000. We still have some accrued payables coming in that will be paid over the course of the next month, 6 weeks, but I just can't tell you how wonderful it feels to look at these financials and to know what a great job that our whole team has done to actually come out better than what we thought we were going to as far as the budget. And I can talk more about that as a part of the approval process for the 21-22 budget. We started to bring in more tax revenues now, deferred revenues that aren't showing in these February financials. But that's right on pace with the way we started this COVID year. So at this point, everything looks very positive. I know we've projected over the course of the year kind of what we thought fund balances were going to look like. And that schedule has really shown true here in the 12th month of this COVID year. So anybody have any questions?
None? Okay. Thank you, Carol. Oh, wait. Oh, this is our I don't want to say it. So, there you go. We are going to move then to the Executive Director's Report. Lisa Shepherd will review items in her report.
Excellent. So, first I want to just report on, I'm sure if you've watched the news today at all, you've seen the governor said he's going to announce his plan to fully reopen the state by this Friday. We believe it's going to be a tiered approach like the other tier, where it'll slowly go up. We don't know what that is yet, and we will be prepared for that. So if it's announced Friday, I know that our staff will be meeting. I'm meeting with other executive directors on the North Shore. I'll be meeting with the Village and School District. We believe that most of these changes will be made to outdoor amounts of people, so we'll be looking at that. So just know we'll be watching that and report back, probably the committee or the Friday update if it comes due. The next thing I want to bring up is our Beach Passes went on sale this morning. And as of 6:45, and I'm sure Aaron can give me up to date to spend on it, we sold 3,044 passes. And our revenue is 105. Over almost 106, and we sold 246 guest passes. Just to give you kind of a relationship how it was last year. Last year we sold 6,011 total passes, and of that, residents were 4,399. So we are off to a fantastic start.
And our website today saw more traffic than ever before on any of our high peak registration days. It was double our highest days to date.
Yeah, a lot of traffic. The staff did a great job when we sent out the postcard. The QR code was just so key to get them back to our website, where we have a list of FAQs. If you have not seen that already, please take a look at that. It answers a lot of the questions. So anytime the front desk, we get a lot of questions, and we saw a pattern happening, we would add that to that. We need to answer those. And we will continue. That's a live document. We will continue to update it as it goes. But for now, I want Bobby and Matt. They're both here. Where's Matt? He's probably right there. He's right in front of my face. They're going to walk through how our dailies will work. Obviously, this is evolving also. It's only March. We have a little bit, but we just kind of want to give you an idea how our dailies are going to work so that if you get any questions regarding this, you'll know. Remember, what we really want to do is push people to buy passes. We think that'll be, especially for our residents, that's the easiest way for our residents to enjoy the beach unlimited this summer. So, Bobby and Matt, I'm going to throw it over to you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for taking a few minutes out of the meeting for me to be able to present to you guys how we're looking at rolling out the daily admission process. I just want to give you a reminder of what we had agreed to with regards to the admission process. So we're going to be doing the hybrid down at the bottom. Option 2A So we'll be doing 7 days a week for season passes and limited daily admission Monday through Friday from starting at 12 p.m. to close. No daily admissions will be sold on Saturday, Sunday, or holidays. So when we were looking at this, we were thinking about the challenges that we're going to face with the daily admission sales. Some of these which are unknown weather conditions and water conditions. There are too many variables for the customer to make an informed decision about buying $100 worth of daily passes in advance, to potentially create a volatile situation at the entrances when people show up and they don't have the tickets or they don't have the right tickets. Many scenarios could unplay there. With the advanced ticket sales, we also see an expectation of refunds that could be due to weather, due to water conditions, due to bacteria. And by offering it in advance, we're potentially creating an increased administrative workload on the back end for these advanced ticket sales. If we do have a high bacteria day, we have an overwhelming number of people that are absolutely demanding. So the daily admission ticket sales, how we look at doing it is we want to use the TicketLeap platform, which was introduced at Watts this winter. Ticket sales, we're proposing, would start the day of at 9 a.m. So, and there's numerous reasons for this. By 9 a.m., we've got our water samples results back. So people cannot come back and say to us, oh, by the way, we didn't know the water was closed, which I'll allude to in a minute. So we've got weather, water status, closures are posted on our website. On the ticket sale page for that individual day, it will be posted. We'll also have the phone message updated and the rain outline updated by 9 a.m. That way everybody has got access to what the current conditions are day of purchase. So. We'll also be passing along the 5% processing fee to the day pass purchaser. We will not be offering any on-site ticket sales. Everything will be online and off-site. Now, if somebody shows up to the beach and wants to buy the pass, we'll have that QR code that will take them directly to the TicketLeap platform, and they, if tickets are available, we'll be able to purchase them then and there. And then it's instantaneous. It shows up as an email and with a PDF, and they scan their phone. And everything we've checked with connectivity works with the current register systems that we have. So that works out very nicely without having to change the technological aspect of what we're currently operating with. And then everybody that buys the resident daily ticket will need to provide an ID or some proof of residency at check-in. So some of the advantages of doing the day of purchase is purchaser knows the status of the weather and the water conditions. They know if we're going to be closed for rough waves. They know if we're going to be closed for bacteria. They can't sit come and say, oh, we didn't know, you didn't tell me. That information will be updated. The purchaser can make a more informed decision by having that information in front of them. They can either say, yes, we still want to go and spend the beach day at the beach, knowing that we're not going to have access to the water, but we still want to come down. And they'll have that option. It's going to streamline the sales process by not convoluting days in advance and not knowing what the conditions are going to be like on that Thursday or Friday when they plan to go to the beach. Managers also have the opportunity to focus on the daily operations and not spend the majority of time between, let's call it 12 and 2 o'clock, up dealing with people that have purchased tickets that were unhappy with the conditions or didn't bother to look to see if the water was open or closed that day. They can't have an expectation of refunds at this point as they made that decision between 9 and 12 p.m. when they can purchase tickets to say, yes, we know what the conditions are like at the beach. Yes, we want to come. Maybe today's not the best beach day. No, we're not going to come. And it would also make it hard for them to argue our refund policy. The refund policy is basically all daily admission sales are final, non-transferable, and have absolutely no cash value to them. So as Lisa just alluded to, you stole my glory, but that's okay. Here's a little breakdown of what the season passes sales were on day one. So very happy to see these numbers. We really didn't know where it was going to go, but given the fury of questions and inquiries and people asking when they can when they're going to go on sale, the proof is in the pudding here that, you know, the marketing efforts that we put forth have been obviously pretty beneficial in informing the residents of Glencoe that passes are on sale and there is definitely a demand for them. So, any questions?
Thank you, Matt.
Sure.
Any questions?
I have one question, and I don't think it's covered with Matt. Do you know the percentage of the 3,000 passes that were sold that are residents?
They're all residents. We don't start non-residents till March 20.
March 30th.
30th. Thank you.
I think it says April 6th in the packet.
Does it? It's March 30th. Sorry, that was original. We were toying with that date. So my apologies.
All right. Okay. It's page 67. If anyone wants to correct it.
Okay. Thank you.
How many? What's that happening here? Or happening out?
Can you we really can't hear you, Michael. Can you?
Are you capping it out sales or?
There's no plan right now.
At this point, we don't have a plan. We're going to wait to see what the governor's announcement is, but at this point, we don't have a cap. Good question. All right. Well, no questions with that. We'll move on to the rest of my report. We hit our one-year pandemic milestone, and I can't thank my team, the entire Park District team, and the board for their dedication and innovation and ability to pivot throughout this year. They made it a lot less stressful year because of the way they think and their attitude to serving the residents and their fellow team members. They serve with empathy and caring for their fellow team members and the community, and you can't thank them enough. So I just want to give a kudos to all of them here. We are very close to having all the staff that want to be vaccinated. So we anticipate that in the next week or so that will occur, and that is working in conjunction with the village and the school district and New Trier Township on that program. So because we do have a daycare in our building, and pretty much everybody in our staff has contact with that daycare, we were able to get everybody done. So kudos to that cooperative relationship we have there. We are working on some smaller special events because we know that this community really is yearning to gather together, and we feel smaller events are the way to go. So probably in the next committee report, Bobby and his team will be presenting some of those, but know that we are looking at 4th of July and how we can reimagine that. Obviously, we're not doing fireworks, but we are looking at doing events in the morning and other creative things. So we'll give more of an update in the committee report and know that we're working with the village on that. Have a meeting with that. Chris, can you give a little update on Duke Park and Connect Glencoe? Obviously, with the nice weather last week, we really saw how many people are really enjoying that path and that playground. But we just want to make sure you all know it's not done yet. We still have a punch list. So I want Chris to give an update on that project.
So I'll start with the Connect Glencoe project. So we'll likely start to see some activity on Park Avenue regarding landscaping, repairs to the masonry wall here mid-April. The contractor has to be done by May 1st or start to face a fine of $1,500 a day. So I believe it's likely that we'll see a pretty significant surge in efforts from them at the end of April. We have a number of punch list items from the Connect Glencoe Trail. There's a number of areas where the aggregate underneath the concrete wasn't properly compacted, and we saw some cracking over the winter. You know, some of it, you know, concrete normally cracks, but to see some of the areas, they were just cracks that we found to be unacceptable. So those, we have some deer hoof prints that are getting replaced, some fingerprints, things like that. So we will see a couple of sections of concrete removed, like around Veterans Park, some of the intersections. In addition, the thermoplastic striping that marks the intersections was put down after the acceptable date. So they'll be replacing that at no cost to us because the village snowplows plowed the most of it off throughout the trail. So we'll see quite a bit of punchless work going on with the trail. Some areas, there's low spots. There'll be some rolling to do. We're working on developing kind of what our seasonal maintenance plan is going to look like for that. You know, we're kind of hitting on potentially going out there really three times a year and looking at the trail beyond just day-to-day garbage. You know, areas where things are puddling, things like that, there'll have to be a little bit of grading work done, but nothing I don't think the contractor should be able to handle. Related to Duke, we're still waiting on the installation of our bike racks, our track for our train, and the donor memorial. So included in that is also the box that goes over the large water valve that's on the corner. So you'll see caution tape around that right now. That will not remain like that. So again, we'll be tightening up the landscaping there. We'll be seeing the bike racks, the train. In addition, we've got some parking signs that we're working on right now, directing the park users to be good neighbors, not to park on Crescent and Dennis, park in the designated metro lot spots that Lisa was able to secure by working through the village. So any specific questions regarding Connect Glencoe or Duke Park?
Where are the bike racks being installed?
It's a large concrete pad. So as you walk into the park, so there's two areas. There's an area that we envisioned as stroller parking, and then another area, I believe, closer to the trail. It's definitely something we can evaluate as we start to see the park get used. If we need to add more bike racks, we can do so. So we have enough parking, I believe, now for 10 bikes.
Chris Nentler, on the record, I will go by and say, continue to say, I think it's like the Air Jordan of trails. It's a really nice trail to run on. I've heard of a bunch of neighbors who also wanted to know why it wasn't plowed in the winter, and now I have the reason. But you will, the puddling will be addressed by the vendor.
Well, and I think it's important to note that, puddling the day after a snowstorm is normal on an outdoor trail. I think it's puddling, days and days after it rains. It's not asphalt and it's not concrete. So the pitching that you would do with that product, you can't do with an aggregate like this. And that's the choice that we, intentionally made. So, yeah, it's not going to sheet drain off like it would if it was a sidewalk that was pitched, but they definitely will be coming back and adding some aggregate materials in a few areas where we've got some pretty good compaction.
Okay, thank you.
Chris, could you address the toddler piece that we talked about when we went out that intentionally does not move a lot?
Yeah, so at Duke Park in particular, we have 2 to 5 elements and we have 5 to 12 elements. So towards the Green Bay Road side, which it's not really close to Green Bay Road, but it basically faces Green Bay Road. You have two elements. You have the fall small structure, and then you have what kind of looks like a tire swing. So it's meant to be a climber for someone 2 to 3 years old. So it has a little bit of a shake to it, but it does not swing. It's really geared more towards that 2 to 5 range. It's not going to be something that's entertaining to an 8 or 9 year old.
Well, I know the water's not going to be turned on for a while because it's both. When do you think the train will be delivered, and do you have a system in place for signing up for that? Like, how are you going to have people sign up so that it's not crazy lines or anything? Just seeing how that park was used the last 2 weeks, like you said, it's very crowded. I just anticipate that to be an issue.
Yeah, we don't intend to have attendance at that park. So it's first come, first used, I guess, in that park. So hopefully the residents use common courtesy. We did not schedule staff members to sit there and monitor that train.
There may be a sign in our future, Lisa. Please take turn.
There may be another sign in our future.
These are passes.
Yeah, we don't have reservations
for that. Thank you, Josh. I hadn't thought of that.
I will say it's likely we'll see the water around Memorial Day for the fountain itself. We're going to tie the fountain turning on ceremony to kind of an official ribbon cutting if, the governor will allow us to gather in that way. So, that
fountain will be a little different than the rest of the park water systems. I mean, we typically see drinking fountains going on, you know, mid-April, restrooms being activated. We'll likely push that back just because that water is not going to be heated and it's going to be cold. So, you know, it'll be great when it's really nice and warm outside, but probably towards the end of May, early June. But it will obviously be able to go longer into September and October than like a regular aquatic operation would.
So, Lisa, I imagine the opening ceremony that will involve the family. The
Absolutely.
Family,
yes.
Will occur when the fountain, the splash pad is ready to go, and of course the train is ready to go. So
yeah.
I expect sometime this summer. Is that?
Sometime this summer, yeah. Hopefully in May sometime. And we'll also invite the legislators and other key people that were instrumental in getting those grants. And the donor, of course.
Yeah.
I expect the majority of everything to be completed by the end of April on that project. So,
wow.
Yeah. We're really just, we got hit with, you know, 50 inches of snow, and that's kind of what stopped them. So we've already got some of the train components stockpiled in the Parks Department, so we've got materials on hand already.
Cool. Are street signs installed, Chris, or are they?
The village is working on the street signs. They do the street signs for no parking.
Okay.
It's going to say no playground parking because the residents can park there.
Yes.
And then they'll install the signs on the other side for the parking, 3-hour parking zones.
Okay.
They'll install those. I believe they're on order. And
there will be
installing a sign in the park directing people to those places.
There will be traffic control signs on the trail that will be installed as part of the project, which are required by IDOT. There'll also be playground warning signs that get installed on Old Green Bay Road just to meet the code. So there's quite a bit of signage that's still coming here.
Okay. Any questions regarding this issue from any commissioner? Thank you so much, Chris, for that.
All right. And to finish my report, I just want to thank the WATCH team. We already talked about the financials, but I want to thank the WATCH team for a superbly run season. And that would be Adam and Shannon, who filled in for Adam. And then I believe Ann's on here. She's one of our customer service reps. And Stephanie was over there a lot because of Kids Club. When we started out the season, we took a chance on how we ran it, and it really, really worked well. And we were able to adhere to all the codes and able to keep our rink open. So kudos to all them. In addition, they saw the need of that people really wanted to have fun and be outside and gather with their friends, and just did a phenomenal job with those Friday night special events. And so we see those continuing at the beach. So kudos to that whole team for facilitating that. It was incredible. I would also like to remind you that with Commissioner Underdog going off the Park District Board, we're going to need representatives on two of the village committees. So the Park District gets seats on those. So it's the Plan Commission and the Sustainability Task Force. So just start thinking about that. You can ask Commissioner Underdog what the time commitment is and what that's all about if you want, and yet we do need and it could be two people, it doesn't have to be the same person that would like to sit on that. And I see Bart and Brandon are on the call, I believe, and so hopefully we don't have to name those until May, but just start thinking about that. And that's really it. Does anybody have any other questions for my report?
The WAP staff and the Kids Club staff. I shared with Carrie today that I could not have done this year without them. And I know a lot of parents feel the same way, so.
I totally agree.
They do a great job.
It's amazing. I would go over there and seeing those kids, all their computer and our staff able to help facilitate them with their school day, and I know that was definitely a need for our working parents, so kudos to them also. Thank you.
Lisa, I see Adam and Stephanie are still on the call, Matt as well, like, you guys make us look good. Forget the directors, because they just define the death. you guys really, really make us look good. And so, you know, Adam, all your programming, phenomenal. And you are, I'm surprised we don't think in the middle of the watch, because you made Watch Center just so much better. And Stephanie, the programming this year has been awesome. So really appreciate it. And Matt, you crank it over the summer, and you're going to crank it again. So the four of you guys, thanks so much. I do have one quick question that I would like to just raise. You know, we are, you know, I think we discussed Bill Ford previously, but Lisa Shepherd, as the governor comes out with the plans for reopening, I do think that we should put some time in the future to discuss, you know, a celebration of some kind. You know, I know we talked about maybe moving it to the Labor Day weekend, but I do think that we should revisit that at, you know, sometime in the near future, because those plans are hard to, it takes a lot of coordination from your guys' team, but even from the board and public community too. I'm hoping that in September is time for more outdoor activities before the weather gets too cold. Post July 4th, because I think Biden says he wants to open it up a little bit more too. So if we could just keep that in the forefront of our minds, if we're going to do those.
Thank you, Michael, because we agree. 4th July fireworks, that ship has already sailed. So we have actually already been talking about when we can have a celebration, because, you know, we still have the fireworks. And we are hoping, I think we'll learn a lot more after this weekend, and see what we can do. And obviously it all depends on vaccination rates and such. But we are looking at ways to bring the community together, either in small ways or larger ways. So.
I feel pretty confident in from what is going out, at least in my work, and what I'm seeing in the community and seeing different states doing that, you know, by Labor Day weekend, we should have the vast majority of people who want to be vaccinated. So I think it's probably time. I think we should think about outdoor events.
Like I said, we're looking at the next committee meeting. We're going to present that to the board.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Anything else? Dudley. Oops, unmute.
You do it sustainably. There, I beat you to it, Dudley.
There we go. I wanted to say that I had an opportunity to meet for the first time in a long time with my grandkids. And we walked along the trail, the Connect Grand Cove Trail, and tested out some of the facilities in the park. And I will say it has their seal of approval. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Excellent. Dudley, while I have you on unmute, is there anything very, very briefly you would like to share with us about sustainability, so that we could start our brains twirling about sustainability and plan commission? Anything you think would be valuable to share with us, so as we consider those two spots.
Okay. The Plan Commission is starting an effort called the Comprehensive Plan, a long-term guide for the development of the community. This one will be a little different. The past one focused on physical aspects of the community. This next one will probably add some new elements, including equity, sustainability, climate change, and resiliency. And so we'll have some new filters to look at the community with. With respect to the Sustainability Committee, it's a very, very active group, lots of great ideas for sustainability, very engaged. A couple of them are professionals in the recycling business, and they've had some pretty interesting ideas. In fact, there's a collection this weekend for kitchen-related items in the parking lot on the east side of Green Bay Road to South Park Avenue for kitchen items. And they've made a special arrangement with the New Trier social service agencies to help people who have lost everything and need to have kitchen items just to get started in their new apartment or temporary living. So a whole series of activities that we'll be seeing over the year, along with an expanded web page. It's a great group of people. I don't know what committees I may be assigned to in the future in the event I'm reelected. I think that might be a high probability because I'm running unopposed.
Aren't we all?
But anyway, we'll see. We'll see whether I will be, what committees I'll be a liaison to. Actually, I'm talking to the incoming village president tomorrow about that. So we'll see how that goes. But I'll have, obviously, other responsibilities starting.
Thank you, Dudley. Thank you very much. Okay, Lisa, you're finished, correct?
I am.
If there is nothing else, we will move on to action items. I entertain a motion to approve the fiscal year 2021-22 budget approval draft as presented.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passed.
Lisa? I think Carol wanted to say something because it's a very, very last budget.
I know. I alluded to it, and then I felt so bad I didn't want to say anything.
No. I want to make sure everybody is aware that because we did financially so well, especially in the corporate fund, that there is a $300,000 transfer, as was kind of discussed in the first draft process. That is included in the board, and it will be officially done when the audit's done, but I wanted to include it in this budget. Now that we know we have the park grant, obviously some of those items from a capital perspective that were part of that park grant will obviously have to be delayed or reconsidered as a part of that whole park project. But I did include a $300,000 transfer, so that's all I really wanted to add.
Yes, I saw that. Thank you, Carol.
Are there any other Easter eggs in here, Carol, that you put in here just to see if we actually read it?
No, I'll tell you that Bobby did make a lot of updates based on the fact of the daily passes, and I'm just looking at what the season pass revenue is. I think we might have hit that in our first day of resident pass sales almost, which is unbelievable. And because we did so well with the camp registration on February 2nd, I know we did adjust for more revenues, almost $200,000 in surplus for the rec programs coming in next year as well. So very positive things all the way around. And, you know, still looking with our first year of the bond proceeds, Fund 67, 169 and 165, over $3.4 million in capital improvements within the district. So amazing to say that in a COVID year, but it's just unreal. It's just unreal, and a privilege to be a part of that. So
thank you, Carol, and a privilege to have you in charge of all of this during this time. So thank you. Then I will move to, I entertain a motion to approve the professional service contract with Baird for Glencoe Beach Pier project as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Here.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the lowest bidder for the Beach House exterior renovation project, Red Feather Group of Glenview, Illinois, for a total of $75,200 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Boren?
Here.
Mr. Covey?
Yes.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Mr. Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. Okay, so now we're going to move on to the document I think you all received that Jenny delivered to you, the confidential executive session minutes. And I will say, would any commissioner like to discuss these minutes in closed session?
Are these the confidential minutes?
Correct, yes. Okay. Then, if that is no all around, I entertain a motion to approve and keep confidential executive session minutes, including October 20th, 2020, December 1st, 2020, December 15th, 2020, February 2nd, 2021, February 16th, 2021, and March 2nd, 2021, as mandated by 5 ILCS 120/2, parentheses C, close parentheses, parentheses 21, close parentheses, as presented. Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. This is wild. I think we're done.
We are.
I did a skippy skip all the way through, and I didn't skip you this time, Chris. I just want to say very quickly, this was a different format in the packet. I mean, it's always going to look a little different because of what we're doing, but it was a different format addressing some of the requests that we made to Lisa this last month. And we'll have a chance to digest it and kind of give suggestions and talk about it when we do our board training session of sorts, if that's a good way to describe it. And that will happen later in the spring. Don't worry, Josh. You won't have to participate. And in any case, we can talk more about it then and, you know, consider this and think about things you like or don't like about it. And then, if there's nothing else, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Mr. Covey?
Approved.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Mr. Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.